You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
giving up a second thought about you now. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It is, as they say, a new year. This is the second day of this so-called new year. So I hope you have a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, will do, and can do this upcoming year. And I hope that whatever day that you decide to do it, the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, you're going to better do it anyway. Stop putting stuff off. Get it done, y'all. Let's go. Oh, yeah. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, then you can always go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion with African Post. Click on that and follow that, and you can lead you to previous recorded episodes, which are dated and titled. And other programming that's on Time for an Awakening. Today, I know it's not Monday, but it sure hell feels like Monday, believe me. African Perspectives, like I said, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times, so adjust accordingly. Acres of Diamonds on Mondays from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. He had a great program last night, had a beautiful young sister on. She was firing. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. From 8 to 10, and also from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, Revive. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., you know what time it is? Yeah, you do. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 to 12. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it ain't me. It still ain't me. It is Sister POC with her program, Revive. From 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Once again, it's time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. The call-in number is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832, where you can give your questions, comments, or concerns, or just your African perspective. Exactly. We buy black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. And go to that website. The products are produced by us, distributed by us, and it's for you to buy, to help support, and for you and your family. If you're in the Atlanta area, they have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, AfricaForTheAfricans.com, dot org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. That is Brother Bomani Tayembe, who will be taking a tour of brothers and sisters, a group, to in May of this year, May 19th. I'm getting in. Like I said, I've been saying that, but I'm going to do that because I want you to know and I want you to be able to prepare for it. It's a beautiful, great experience. If you want to see photos from the previous tours, he had one in November or the one last year in May. You can go to facebook.com/Bomani. Or if you want to see video of those previous tours, you can go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans. We have books. We need books. We need to read. And one of the places you can get books right here in Atlanta is at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located in the West End neighborhood in Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. And they have books, they have furniture, they have artwork, they have clothing, they have the red, black, and green shoes. They have what you need. And that number to call is 404-549-8676. Also, too, they have a Black History class every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. Every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30 at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. If you want to email Brother Olatunji, who gives the classes, it's at talkingdrumatlive.com, L-I-V-E, live.com. Live, live. You got it. And that's the history class. But also, too, if you want to be even deeper, you can get the multimedia library downloaded on an external hard drive, 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. You have 15,000 video files, 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books right at your disposal. So check that out. Also, two books in the Atlanta area at the Greenbrier Mall is the Medu Bookstore at Greenbrier Mall. Check them out. If they have a book that you're searching for, if they don't have the book you're searching for, they will get it. Black Dot. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. My good brother Jamu, outstanding Kwanzaa we had there. And believe me, he has the same situation. If there's a book you want, he'll get it for you. He also has the red, black, and green shoes. The red, black, and green shoes. NASGAS. And that is... Okay, let me get this out of the way before I get... Yeah, I'll do that. Oh, Us Lifting Us. ULU, Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Okay, every Thursday night, they have their broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and the number to call to listen, to be a part of what's going on, and hopefully become a member of Us Lifting Us is 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789. And you can check out the program on for Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. It is a cooperative. We pull our monies together and we help provide goods and services for our people and ultimately jobs for our people. We need your support. We need you to become members. We need you to become not investors. What do we call it? They got to share. But basically, brothers and sisters, Us Lifting Us is about us. We pulled our monies together and we created a cafe, Cafe ULU, located 2036 Sylvan Road. It's open Monday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we're located once again on 2036 Sylvan Road, and we have coffee. That's right. We have African coffee. Check out our website at www.cafeulu.com. We have Cameroon, Tanzanian, Kenyan, Ethiopia, of course, where coffee started. But we also have Brazilian, Nicaraguan, Panamanian. Oh, man, we have had so many coffees. Papua New Guinea, you know. So we get coffees in and we try them out. Okay, we also have local we have teas and so forth. Everything at Cafe ULU is produced by us. The wraps, the
everything. It's great. We even have some potato chips. Symphony Potato Chips is a brother and his two daughters right out of here, out of Atlanta. We also have another brother out of Atlanta. That's Brother Novak Young with his Vitality drink, Ambrosia. It is delicious. Ambrosia. And that is that drink that has hibiscus, ginger, turmeric, chlorophyll, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. It is a delicious Vitality drink, Ambrosia. These are the events that are being supported at the Akabin House. This is Baba Mwalimu Baruti, Brother Baruti. He has a PowerPoint lecture coming up this month, The Elements of Warriorhood, Saturday, January 19th, from 5 to 9 at Wadada Health and Market Juice Bar at the Wadada. And that is located 878 Ralph David Abernathy in the West End, of course. And that is Saturday. Also at Wadada is Mama Ya Baruti, his lovely wife. She has For African Sisters Only, Navigating the Challenges of African Womanhood, Learning Yoga with Mama Yami and a Sister Circle. And that is Saturday, February 2nd from 5 to 9. At Wadada Health Market and Juice Bar, located at Ralph David Abernathy, 878 Ralph David Abernathy. And then the big anniversary celebration, March 2nd. And that's going to be at the Sweet Spot Anniversary Celebration for Akabin Institute and Akabin House for 20th year celebration. And that's going to be at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway. That's also in the West End. Our sayings in Yesesim. I'm going to read yesterday's saying as well as today's. And then we're going to get off into our discussion. Today is Wednesday, brothers and sisters. I know I could say it felt like Monday, but today is Wednesday, and thank God it's Wednesday, because we have our good brother and our good friend, Brother Franklin Jones, today with us. So let me get this out of the way. These are the Yesesim Revolutionary Daily Thoughts, January 1st. Can it be an accident that the only people who have built an entire culture based on the dominance of others are also the ones who are Caucasian? Marimba Ani. Can this reality truly be an accident? Can a way of heartless, spiritless, lying, raping, pillaging, poisoning, thieving, exploiting, appropriating, destroying, disrespecting, murdering, oppressing, genocidal insanity be repeated day in and day out for centuries on end in ignorance of the originators and primary perpetrators? Can crimes against humanity practiced to perfection be without conscious intent? Could it be an accident that the jealous desire to harm others who have what they can never possess, that the hateful deliver hatred to those who love them in spite of humanity, full of forgiveness and without qualification? Could it be an accident that evil naturally begets evil? Can an empty, spiritless, suicidal people fully comfortable in their methodological corruption of truth, justice, and order be innocent of the destructive crimes they have systematically committed against all other creation? Is innocence a quality of a people who do little more than lie and blame others to cover up their wrongs against them? Can a flawless, personally concealed record of transgressions against innocence be merely an accidental habit? Warrior scholars have no choice in answering any and all of these questions, for where there is a pattern, an unbroken, evolved pattern among a people, no matter how unthinkable or twisted it may be, there is intent, personality, and desire behind it. Affirm, I know this is not an accident. Affirmed, I know this is not an accident. January 2nd. Building the community is a duty. It is a duty we must undertake to fulfill without excessive concern for the additional inconveniences, time, or resources it requires. Kwame Iketo. In the minds of those of us who feel compelled to make the decision to literally abandon our children to other vices, the evil they will have to endure long and unprotected appears to outweigh the good that the institutions we have or would be forced to build in our community or we individually can do for them. If we step outside ourselves and look at what we're saying to them, we can see that though this compromise we have revealed ourselves to them to be a self-hating as those Negroes and lost souls we dismiss in lessons to our children of what not to become as cowardly traitors to the race. Because in making such a decision, we overlook a most profound ancestral wisdom, a knowledge of our primordial primary responsibility for the safety and sanity of the minds of our children. In surrendering our children to westernized success, in quotes, we dismiss the cost to our community and to their spirit. We send our children the message that to be African and successful is contradictory in thinking. Simply put, we are telling them two things. One is that people dedicated to their Africanness are not successful. And the other is that in order for them to be successful, they have to be European. Affirm. Our children's sanity comes first. Affirmed. Our children's sanity comes first. Daily revolutionary thought. So we haven't talked to this brother since last year. It's going to be a pleasure to talk to once again Franklin Jones. How you doing there, brother?
Good morning, my brother. I'm doing fantastic, and you're right. It sure feels like Monday.
That's for sure it does. I hope everything is well with you and your family, and I know everything is well with me and mine. And I know they say this is a new year or whatever, but let's just keep on progressing and keep on doing whatever we have to do so we can be successful in our endeavors.
I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that, my brother.
Right on.
Everything's doing fantastic.
Yep. You know, even though they say this is a new year, you know, and I know that the calendar, and I kind of touched based on that on my last broadcast of how the calendar was formulated. That this is, of course, the Gregorian calendar, Pope Gregory, Gregorian calendar, and that's. You know, because I've always questioned why would a new year start in the middle of winter, you know, or start in winter when it's cold, when it's, you know, snow everywhere, and there's nothing growing, there's no life, you know. A new year, yes. The new year used to start in March when there was life springing forth, because, you know, everything is dictated by the Northern Hemisphere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what the way the earth is and the way it rotates, you know, you have the four seasons, you know,
mm-hmm.
when you have the vernal equinox of spring and fall, it's right there, it's middle, you know, but then when it tilts away, like now it's winter in the Northern Hemisphere, but it's summer in the Southern Hemisphere. That's like one year I was watching, the Australian Open, and yeah. A lot of matches had to be canceled because it was too damn hot in
yeah.
Australia. You know, it was so hot that some of the players they couldn't hydrate themselves enough, and it was just the conditions were not conducive for them to play effectively. So, but that's their summer, and then of course as it becomes spring, there's once again, the equinox, and then and now it starts tilting towards the sun, and that's the summer for us, and now the winter for the Southern Hemisphere. You know, the earth in itself, and that tilting back and forth, in terms of how it happens through nature or through God or divine intervention and so forth is a good thing.
Yes.
Because in that way, you get a chance for both to experiencing changes within the atmosphere, changes within the environment, you know, where you can have a growing season, where you can have a season where it replenishes itself. So that's a good thing, you know. But I, just as I read in the sayings, you have an entity on this planet, Europeans, who are so damn greedy and selfish and destructive and mean-spirited and hateful that that they have been messing up the ecology. They have been messing up the planet, you know.
Yes.
I tell you, brother. And, you know, I'm just going to be real and honest. You know, I would love to see before I expire, hopefully that is some time from now, but I would love to see a progression or some progress toward our African liberation and self-determination, and even more importantly, some changes in the planet where we're looking out for the environment. We're looking out for nature. We're cleaning up. We're cleaning up the oceans with all that plastic and so forth. We're cleaning the air up. Everywhere where there's an environmental challenge, the emphasis should go there. It's a damn shame, Brother Frank, that they're still drinking bullshit water in Flint. Excuse me, I don't mean to go off like that. You know?
I know. It's shocking, yes.
It is. And there's other places. Milwaukee's another place where the water quality is not good because of the piping and so forth. And so instead of talking about a damn border wall, that money, any money, should be put into building infrastructure, roads and so forth, the bridges, and, of course, water systems. Also, too, changing from all the need for oil, you know, to solar energy, you know, and wind energy. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, you go ahead. You finish.
No, I was just saying that's where the emphasis should be. But yet there are still talking about, you know, oil. They're still talking about coal. That's unbelievable to me.
You're absolutely right. The national media isn't talking much at all about Flint, Michigan. We don't hear anything at all. The reason why when we hear stuff about Flint, Michigan, we're hearing it through the internet. The reason that's why it's still on our collective conscience, because black people putting it on the internet, putting out a story, say it's still happening. And when you said earlier in your lifetime you wish you saw a progressive change or an awareness, this example of how Flint, Michigan is still in our conscience of our own doing through the internet is an example of how the internet has truly elevated our conscience. Because before the internet, our communication globally, nationally, was all dependent upon the information controlled by whites.
Right.
Whites controlled what we heard, what we saw. So whites told us what was happening in the other states. Whites told us what was happening in Africa. Whites told Africans the state of African Americans. Whites told us the state of the blacks in Great Britain. Whites told us the state of the blacks in Canada. Our reality and our perception of ourselves collectively, nationally, and globally has been controlled by white people. Now, through the media now, we are now creating our own narrative. We are now communicating with each other. We, Africans in America, we are putting out dialogues that Africans on the continent are reading. And they see that we're not just thugs in ghetto. They see our conscience. We are now reading their information, what they're putting out. And we see that they are not just crazy warlords killing each other. So we're now able to communicate among each other. In fact, the ruling elites have stated that the internet is a threat. They say the internet is a threat to the dominant society, and they want government to start regulating it. We must recognize the power that we have now, and we must use it and capitalize on it to continue to spread our information. And that's why radio shows like yours, broadcast shows like yours, are so important, because we are speaking from our own narratives, and we are reaching out to people globally. This, as a combat soldier who served in Iraq, I will tell you, when we are fighting against the enemy, when we're able to cut down their communication, when we're able to interfere with their radio communication and separate them from communicating with each other, that's how we defeat them. We halt their radio communication. We cut their ground wires. And when they can't communicate with each other, they are weaker. In our society, we wipe control the narrative and prevent us from communicating with each other. And that's why we have such a grim state of how we perceive ourselves. When we say our communities are bad, we don't love each other, all and so on. These are narratives not that we created. These are narratives that whites give us and impose upon us, and we function based upon these narratives. And their objective is to keep us believing the worst and the less of ourselves.
That's right.
This makes it easier to control. So we are. So my point is, you are living in a time where there is a greater collectiveness, and you are a part of that. You are a part of that greater collective, which you've created. That's what I say. So you have seen it, and you are it.
Well, I will say this. I'm trying to do my best to impart this information to our people so they can make the kind of proper decisions and feel good about who and what they are in their African selves and begin to spread that. I'm trying my best to raise the consciousness of our people. And believe me, it is not easy. When you're bombarded 24/7, 365, you know, what this Caucasian has done.
The white man's propaganda? Yes.
And so now, when you come with the truth, a lot of our, because they have done such an outstanding job, and everything that they've done makes you feel guilty, makes you feel afraid. There is fear to do otherwise, to think otherwise, to believe in a different theology than the Christianity that they have imposed upon us, to believe in a different system than this so-called democratic system or this monetary system that they've imposed upon us, to think outside of that.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost, you know, like it's heresy, you know, it's treason. No, it's not. It's treason is if you don't.
The white man is literally like the devil. I never heard it so many times before, but he's so deceitful. Like, for example, he created a propaganda and he spread it among women where women believe that being over-sexualized means women liberation. And they start, some women are out there doing all kind of crazy things sexually, believing that's liberation. They disguise sexuality as women liberation. We have women out there screwing and doing all kind of crazy things because they believe it's empowerment. We can do what men can do. The white man creates propaganda and he puts a spin on it. And those who are weak-minded, non-critical thinkers absorb the white man's lies and ideology to their own demise.
Yep.
And that's the system we must recognize, how this works, how social this, it's a social science of how society works.
Right.
In fact, whatever you have a society with millions of people, billions of people, you can't allow those people to just run free through their own thinking. So you have to create narratives and propaganda to socially control society. And the white man controls society. And he is the reason why we have many black people today who have a disdain for their race, routinely put their race down, speak highly of whites in spite of a brutal history to the contrary. Because we are being programmed. Until we recognize the programming, we will always be the white man's mental slave. And the resolution is to wake up.
Yes.
To wake up. It is time to wake up. We are waking up. We must become conscious of what's happening. We must learn it, study it. We must teach it. We must teach it to our children, teach it to our neighbors, teach it to our friends. And we must make a commitment to this change because our future generation depends upon it.
Yes.
If we don't break these mental shackles, our children's children will still be mentally enslaved. We must recognize the social engineering of society and how it is designed to exalt whites and marginalize and denigrate black people. Because this is a system, this is a mental system they use to maintain white dominance. Society does not function based upon facts and reality. Society functions based upon prevailing narratives. And because white people write our history books, white people control our movie content, they censor our narratives that we use on social media, and they control all statistics and societal narratives, This has allowed them to create a false reality that falsely exalts themselves above all other races. The social scientists call this unethical tactic as merely instilling a value system into the minds of non-whites that makes us more compliant with white dominance over our lives. This social engineering system is so proficient that it causes many of us to prefer white dominance over our lives. We are being socially engineered by men we've never heard of. This is the science. This is what we must recognize in order to liberate ourselves. This is that science that we have to recognize.
And see what's
this is where Black liberation begins.
And see what's interesting about that, Brother Frank, is that once you do, once you acquire that, once you instill that information into your mind, into your heart, and now ultimately into your life, your behavior changes. And you look at Europeans, you look at Caucasians differently.
Yes, because you see the truth. Yes.
Yes. You know, yes. And you begin to reject anything and everything that they bring forth, because it's just like in a trial. If you have proven to perjure yourself, if you have been proven to be a liar, you know, then you cannot be believed. And so therefore you're stricken from being a juror. You're stricken from being to give testimony and so forth. And that's what it is as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
How it is for me to them. I reject everything that they bring forth. Hell, if they say the sky is blue, hell, I'll say it's green. You know, I just reject whatever the Caucasian brings to us, because what he brings to us is death, domination, and destruction. That's what he brings, you know. And look at what he has done. One could argue that what we're experiencing as African people on the continent throughout the diaspora, and particularly here, is a slow genocidal process. They are killing us. They are killing us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. They are killing us. They've mass incarcerated us. They miseducate us. We're at the low economic rung of every ladder. Every social ill in a society is more profound than us than anybody else.
Everything you just said is the irrefutable truth. The irrefutable truth. Yet, in spite of that brutal truth, you have many Black people who speak highly of whites while putting down their race. You have many Black people who sit up straighter when they're talking to whites. You have many Black people who find it easier to hit a Black man than a white person. So when you look at the fact that all those terrible things they're doing to us, and then we have this sense that many of us believe that they are superior or respect them or fear them, then there has to be a system that's creating this contradiction behavior. And it is, whenever a group is oppressed for a long time, their collective aggressions against their oppressors will grow until retaliation or retribution by the oppressed becomes inevitable. The oppressed always go after the oppressors. That's what the human mind is conditioned, a part of the human. The only way to prevent the oppressed from attacking the oppressors is to manipulate the minds of the oppressed by constantly inundating them with information that turns their collective aggression away from their oppressors and turn it against themselves. So you constantly give them information that conveys the message that it's themselves that are their own enemy. This turns their collective aggression away from their oppressors and turn it against themselves. My point is, it is no strange coincidence that many Black people say we are our own worst enemy.
That's
a part of our social engineering.
I hate that.
And it's no strange coincidence that many Black people say, if you want to hide something in the book from a Black person, hide something from a Black, put it in the book. We don't like to read. Black people who say that we don't like to read, that narrative comes from white. No Black person can confirm that. We are constantly bombarded with information that is designed to demoralize us. This is the same tactic Adolf Hitler used against the Jews. You constantly bombard them with information that demoralizes them. You vilify them to create a setting that allows their mistreatment. And you constantly inundate them with negative information. They start to believe by themselves, start to doubt themselves. You start to doubt your own ability to rise against your oppressors. And we are continually victim of the white man's propaganda that is designed to demoralize us, divide us, and make us more compliant with their white dominance. And society controlled by social engineering. And this propaganda is embedded within the education we receive, the movies we watch, the TV shows we watch, and the constant societal narrative. Every time you hear a narrative by black people, it's always fucking negative.
Yes.
Here's how unrealistic that is.
Yeah.
It's because it's a part of a programming which makes us self-hating, self-doubting, and more compliant with white dominance.
Yeah.
We hear something about Africa, it's negative.
Yeah.
That serves a purpose. This makes us feel that a white man did us a favor by enslaving our ancestors and bringing us here. This prevents us from demanding the reparation we're still owed. This makes us feel indebted to the white society, even though, as you stated, we are constantly murdered. We are mass incarcerated. We are miseducated. We are mistreated. We are the lower part of the social pole. But we keep telling ourselves, at least we're not in Africa. At least we're not in Africa. This is by design. We have to recognize that this mindset that exists in millions of us is a result of white social engineering.
You know what we need to do? We need to look at, because I know this year, there's going to be programs that are going to be talking about our 400 years, our sojourn here in this country. And they're going to look at, see all these accomplishments we made. See how far we have come. We have, you know, that's how they're going to frame it.
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes. You're right. Whenever you're watching the mainstream media, even when it's mentioned about black people, that information is designed to serve the agenda of the white establishment. Any narrative that goes against the agenda of the white establishment, you won't hear in the mainstream media. I'm going to say something. I'm sure you're an example of how social engineering works. Remember when the rap phenomenon first came out? They were speaking about liberation. They were speaking about awakening. And you saw rappers wearing the African hat, the Queen Latifah movement. There was this pro-black thing. Now, the white establishment recognized the emergence of the rap industry and how we were creating a form of communication, which was instilling a sense of rebellion and awakening within the conscience of black people. Now, what did the white man do? He didn't just try to smash out the rap music. What he did was he took control of it, and he started steering it in a direction that served his agenda. He changed the rap music, using the theme of gangster rap, into a system that turned us against ourselves, that promoted killing, pimping, raping. He used it to tear down our image, which validated the treatment of us. He used it to make us self-hating. He used it to make us call ourselves niggers. He took control of the information, of the medium, and he used it against our demise.
Yes.
It is when black people recognize the science of societal social engineering is when we will start to liberate ourselves. This, we have to up our game, our mental factor, and understand the system that's being used against us. You know, when the old blatant systems of the 1960s became no longer socially acceptable, which eroded the American government image, they realized that to continue their mistreatment of black people, they had to start using propaganda and social engineering. Particularly in 1968, we are under a system that uses propaganda that validates the mistreatment of black people, that divides black people, creates self-hatred. This is the system that we're under. We have to recognize it in order to overcome it. Our minds, our thoughts, our decisions are being manipulated by white men we've never heard of. When you see that propaganda, many black women today believe that the worst about black men, they believe that to find a good man, you have to marry a white man. There are black men who believe to find a good woman, they have to marry a white woman. You see how ridiculous that is? So therefore, we believe the worst of ourselves, that we don't love each other,
right,
that black love doesn't exist. When in reality, 86.5% of African-American men who are married to black women. 94% of black women in America are married to black men. But we see those magazine covers with the black man, and we believe the worst of ourselves. Making us believe the worst of ourselves is how white society protects themselves from unified black retribution. It is when we understand this system when we will liberate ourselves. We will stop believing in silly biblical fairy tales written by white Romans. We must stop believing in stupid realist myths We must start recognizing the true science, the societal science that's being used to maintain white dominance and suppress black people. That's why governments want to educate. That's why they control our education system, because it protects them.
Right.
We must recognize the system. Our children go to school every day, and when they come home, we just look for A's on their report card. We don't realize that education is a part of social engineering. They're being socially engineered to think less of themselves and think highly of whites.
And see, that was part of the daily thought, that we give our children over to this system. We give our children over, and many of us applaud the A's that our kids get, or the fact that they're in this particular school or that particular school, you see. And you know, even like the Rhodes Scholarship. Do you know who the Rhodes Scholarship was named after? Cecil Rhodes. Do you know who Cecil Rhodes is? As Jay would say, a monkey man. But he was instrumental in killing millions of Africans and taking their land, helped creating the De Beers Diamond Mine, amassed such wealth, such fortune. There's a poster of him with his arrogant ass straddling the whole map of Africa, because what he said, I believe that God wants us to turn the map of Africa British red. And he's straddling the whole map of Africa. And so he had all this wealth. He created a scholarship that you could go to Europe, to England, to Oxford and Cambridge universities for advanced study, the Rhodes Scholarship. And many people hail this. And we are people. Oh, my son is a Rhodes Scholarship.
We are functioning. You're making my point. We are functioning based upon white narratives.
Yes.
And this system is not designed to liberate our minds. Do you know the majority of black people with degrees, as well as the majority of black Christians, use the word nigger to describe themselves?
Yes.
So here it is. You get a degree, you get a master's degree, you get a doctorate degree, and you're still calling yourself niggers, calling your people nigger. Yeah. You are a Christian, you read your Bible, and after reading your Bible, you call your people niggers.
But listen,
you realize that these institutions do not liberate the African mind.
No,
they enslave.
Exactly. Because listen to this. When you talk about a Rhodes Scholarship and you get all hyped about it, I remember one brother, a football player from Florida State. He got a Rhodes Scholarship. They showed when he went to this interview, and of course he came at halftime, a helicopter, because he had been in his interview, and he played a couple of years in the NFL after he'd done his Rhodes Scholarship, and now he's out because he's something, whatever. But anyway, the point being is this. Do you believe that a European Jew would accept a scholarship in the name of Adolf Hitler?
No.
Hell no. But that's tantamount. That's tantamount to us accepting a scholarship in the name of Adolf Hitler by accepting a scholarship in the name of Cecil Rhodes. Mm-hmm. That's how messed up our minds are. That we believe. We got a caller. Let's get this one caller in. Caller 646.
Okay. Oh, Chuck. And happy new year to you, Brother Franklin Jones, and to the great Brother Oki.
You
how are
too.
Your good brothers doing
We're
today?
Doing fine. Jay, how are you?
I'm doing very good, brother.
That's
you know,
great.
It's always good to hear lightning discussion about that filthy, no good, stinking cracker to start out the new year. What could be better?
That's right.
But, you know, you were talking about that no good devil, Cecil Rhodes. You know, it's amazing how they sent us to Liberia to, as they would say, send us back home. And then they allowed a devil like that to come and do what he did to African people. It's just amazing the hypocrisy that we as a people don't understand. What the Urugu give off, the Urugu take away, and the Urugu causes nothing but destruction.
That's right.
I mean, it's just madness. I mean, the type of things that he did to our people is the same as what this European did over here with Buck Boykin and his other sick atrocities. But it seems like nobody wants to put that devil into context, that he was an evil, filthy, stinking, no good devil. But we want to make him into something that is great when one of our children receives that miseducation award, and they're able to go over there to the birthplace of white supremacy, I guess, and so-called study and gain some kind of enlightenment. It just amazes me. It really amazes me. At what point in time are we going to stop sacrificing the education of our children to this beast?
That's the point, Jay. At what point are we going to finally say? That's what I'm saying. That's why I believe this year. Do I expect that this year will come and go without any fundamental changes happening? Of course. Of course. But in the same token, this is an opportunity this year not to say, look at how far we have come. Look at all the things that we have done. Look at all the inventions and all the number of people who have been to political office. Oh, look at the mayors we've had. Oh, we've had a governor or two. All this old bull. To look at this situation for truly for what it is and what it truly has done to us. And then move against it. Not that we can change it. I don't believe we can reform this. I don't believe we can change it. There's nothing we can do to change Caucasians in the way they behave, the way they think, the way they do. Because why? They suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe that who and what they are is superior to all other parts of humanity. And they believe that they're endowed by their creation to what is that? What was that there, that term, Brother Franklin? The white man's burden?
Yes, white man's burden, yes.
Yes, the white man's burden. They believe that they are the civilizers. They are the ones that bring sanity right to the planet. They are the ones that bring government and mores and modes and modality and ethos and all this old bull. They bring nothing but death and destruction. They pollute the planet. They destroy the planet.
No, it's funny when you say that, because the reality, people don't realize that it was the Africans that civilized the world. It was the Africans that introduced the daily bath to the Europeans. You know, it was a dark-skinned Indian that introduced the shampoo to the Europeans. So it's amazing, because we are functioning based upon narratives that print, that exalt white. And we make those our reality. Yeah. White people write the history books, and they create a narrative that exalts them when they are the barbarians. They are the savages of the world, but they impose those narratives upon others, and we function based upon them. And we tell our children, you need to act more like white. We need to be more like white. Why can't we be like white? We have been socially engineered to serve them.
I mean, if you believe in their Sky Daddy, then you would definitely believe in them and want to act like them. That's where you need to start changing the mind of our people, is their belief in the Sky Daddy.
Yeah,
you know, the white Sky Daddy. If you can take away Sky Daddy-ism from this Negro, then maybe you'll have a chance to reclaim his mind. But, I mean, the honest thing is, we need people who have substance and character to lead the way to our sovereignty. And you're not going to find that with the likes of Perm Daddy, Messy Jesse, and the rest of these Negroes. And you're damn sure not going to find it with the moral black woman that they're pushing on us, like Kamala Harris. Harris is an immoral black woman. She should never be allowed to be seen as an example to our young girls. Anytime you sleep with a married man in public view, and any time you change your ethnicity to appease the Yoruba, you're a piece of garbage. And that's basically what she is.
Please elaborate more on those disclosures about the changing ethnicity in the affair. Elaborate your
question. She was claimed to be a black woman. And now all of a sudden she's claiming to be Chinese and some other nationality, I think Indian, and basically removing herself from her blackness to appease this Yorugu. Plus on top of that, I don't trust no woman that sleep with a Yorugu any damn way. And her husband's a Yorugu. So basically, she can go to hell.
But yeah,
you know
but she.
I mean? But the sad thing is, you know, white people and these so-called Negro whisperers are trying to push her on us in the same fashion that they did Puff the Magic Negro Obama. And we see what that led us to. Yeah. I had a brother had the nerve to say that you can't be mad at Obama because of what he did to Gaddafi. Now, anytime you can say that all of the other so-called things that that Joker did is good, and you could bypass the fact that he killed someone that was trying to develop Africa, grow Africa, and build Africa. Something's wrong with you.
See, that's
that's a
Jay
of the empire.
Jay, that's
right.
Hey, Dave, that's a deep example of here is an even though he you know is so called Malti, but he, you know but African genes are dominant. So here's an African man who's the president of the bastion of European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, the United States, and who is the military arm of white supremacy. And so here he is. And here's a man in on the continent, in Libya, who was helping his people, who used the oil wealth of Libya to benefit his people. Who are giving, I mean, there's a prime example. I read about Muammar Gaddafi many, many, many years ago and what he was doing for Libyan people and its economy and so forth and so on, and what he wanted to do to help Africa. So he introduced the gold dinar, saying to the West that no longer is the dollar the petrodollar. You, if you want to, if you want to get some of this crude that I have, which has been designated has some of the best crude oil that you could get, but you will have to get it with this gold dinar coin, which would be backed up, by the resources of the African continent. So he's asking the African leadership on the continent to go with this, which would have benefited Africa tremendously. No longer would you be a pawn and subjugated to the World Bank, to the International Monetary Fund, to those European Jews who control and dominate the economies of the world. So they had to get rid of him. The United States.
Hold on, let me say something. You're absolutely right, because it proves that regardless of what color the president is, when he becomes president, he signs an oath to defend the white society.
That's right.
His agenda is to protect the interests of white society and
white supremacy.
Yep. And you see what Libya has turned into since they killed Brother Gaddafi. And, you know, that dog should be praised. Get out of here. How should you in your right mind ever praise Obama based on his murdering of Gaddafi and the enslavement, therefore, of the Libyan people and African people, the absolutely dismantling of the progress of women and all of the things that were happening in Libya? No, man, the truth has never been told about the total destruction and destabilization of Libya at the hands of Obama and his cronies. And that just goes to show how we as a people are sometimes backwards and caught up in this whole Yoruba's worldview that is nothing but harm to us.
That's right.
That's never going to be righteous towards us. That's never going to be life-giving towards us. That's never going to benefit us.
Look what Saddam Hussein, right? They say that he had weapons of mass destruction. And all of them went there. There was no weapon of mass destruction. They went there, had him killed, hung him. They killed his son, showed the bodies on the news. Could you imagine if another country came here and killed, you know, the leader and the children? But America did it. And no one batted a word. There was no weapon of mass destruction. No one batted a word.
Keep those thoughts, brother. We're going to come right back. We're going to take a break, Jay. Going to take a break, okay. Brother Franklin Jones. It is that okay. time. So keep those thoughts, brothers and sisters. Please join this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Because you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Y'all ready?
Yeah!
Say yeah!
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 Face.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 at from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesday, today, this evening, Revive with Sister POC from 8 to 10. And then on Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening, brother and sister, with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, once again, it's Time for an Awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. We have also another announcement here. There's an educational program of Brother of Eban that is going to be here in Atlanta Saturday, January 12th, one day. Follow the Drinking Gourd to Atlanta at the Atlanta Avenue, the Auburn Avenue Research Library in African American and Cultural History. It's going to be practices for successfully teaching children and our youth of African ancestry by national black education experts. We have Anthony Browder, Hakeem Jabbar, Kobe Wilkerson, Dr. Stephen Hancock, Dr. Chiki Akua, my good brother and friend, Dr. Chiki Akua, going to be on the program. Tyson's Council, Rebecca Graham. Also, there's going to be a special presentation, Is Gentrification the New School Push Out, presented by Dr. Joyce King. And there's also going to be also on the program is Marilyn Tillman and Shaquilla George. That is going to be Saturday, June 12th, 7:30 a.m., and it's going to be at Auburn Avenue Research Library. I'm going to get Brother Chiki Akua on Monday to talk about this outstanding program. Once again, I got my good friends with me, Brother Franklin Jones. How you doing, Brother Franklin Jones? The Black People Matrix.
It's an honor.
That's right, the Black People Matrix.
Always an honor to be here, brother.
I hear you. I appreciate it, man. Believe me, I do, to keep this dialogue going, because this is the dialogue we need to happen. Because somebody asked me, says, what's your program about? But no, he says, what's your show about? I don't have a show. It's a program. A show is a, see, I look at it this way. This is the reason why I say that, because, you know, I'm not trying to entertain. If I entertain, it's like edutainment. Because what I'm trying desperately to do is to put this on our minds, to begin to think. To think outside of the imposed boundaries that Europeans have placed upon us, to release that vice grip that the Caucasian has on our minds, so we can begin to think clearly, and we can begin to pose new ideas and concepts for our liberation. Because this program is unequivocally, undeniably, seriously about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because I understand, to me, there is no other discussion. If we're not discussing, and I don't want to get in no damn debate with somebody about whether or not we should be, because you are basically supporting and sustaining the Caucasian if you do so. The only thing we should be doing is talking about how can we achieve this? How can we bring this forth? How can we educate our children? Like I just mentioned, this program here. But yet, and still, even at that, it's still all about these institutions that the Caucasian has control of. And one of the things he truly has control of is the school, is the education. If you don't have an independent, that you don't get or seek government money. So it's not charter. It's not choice, because those schools still have control by the Department of Public Instruction, be it in whatever state they're in. We're talking about, we need a truly independent educational process. In fact, we need independence up and down the line. But of course, we're here in America. That's why I advocate a concept of African people coming together on the continent throughout the diaspora to say, this is who we're going to be from this point forward. No longer will we be looking towards or looking at Caucasians for any damn thing. We have everything we need right now. We have the expertise. The only thing that we need is the machinery to go to Africa to build roads, to build highways, railroads, ports, schools, hospitals. We have all that within our grasp. Those are the things that we need to be done. But yet, we believe that somehow that we're all, just like somebody said, well, we didn't come on here on the same boat, we're in the same boat now. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're not in the same damn boat. They're in a boat that's sinking. We need to get off this damn Titanic and get our own boat.
Well, if you're gonna get your, if you're gonna get your own boat, OC, you're gonna have to recognize one thing, that Yoruba is your goddamn enemy.
That's
and
right.
The problem is most Negroes don't want to accept that.
I know what I mean.
They don't even want to contemplate it.
I know.
Because the reality is, when you have to do that and come to grips with that, it just busts your bubble. And Negroes hate to have their bubble busted because they live in this fantasy.
Right.
You know, that's why they love the Sky Daddy so much.
Right.
Because of the fantasy.
Right.
You know?
And see, and
the reality
last night
is, this white man ain't going to do nothing to help you. He just want to take all of your talents and use it up. Just like you was in slaves. He just wanted to use your ability to do whatever you were good at to benefit him. You know what I mean? But, you know, the funny thing is, I would like to ask you and Brother Franklin Jones, what do you think is going to be the big story of 2019 moving forward for this Yoruba and for African people? Where do you see this thing going? Because of the sick bastard in the big house, it's no telling what direction things are going to go. Because, you know, most Negroes are going to just be talking about one thing. We got to get him out of office. We got to get him out of office. But you think they'll be planning for anything else? Because once they get that bastard out of office, there'll just be a new overseer in office who will just be a little more kinder in capacity to your BS.
No, you're right. And I maintain that it doesn't make any difference who's in office. Because it's not about who's in office. It is about the system that has been created that perpetuates this and imposes this on us and basically on other and on the world. You know, so it doesn't make any difference who's in office, you know, because I mean,
I agree with that. I think that you said what's going to be the big story. Narratives in the mainstream media that become big stories are never narratives that benefit our liberation. Yep. Narratives that benefit our liberation or movements that benefit our liberation. The white establishment doesn't amplify it in the media because they don't want that movement to grow. They treat true black liberation as you would weeds in a garden. You don't put water on weeds in the garden because you don't want those weeds to grow and catch. So you ignore them. You deprive them of water because you want the weeds to wither away and die. So you don't amplify true black liberation narratives by placing media attention on it. So what the white man does, he will place media attention on narratives that benefit him, narratives that benefit him holding on to power, or narratives that benefit him turning us against ourselves. The true black liberation will not be televised because a white man controls the media.
You know, last night I went to Kwanzaa, last night of Kwanzaa at the Shrine of the Black Madonna, and they had a panel discussion of brothers who are ministers in the black liberation theology. Of course, the foundation of the black liberation theology is the Shrine of the Black Madonna, Reverend Klieg.
That's a joke.
Huh?
That's a joke.
What's a joke? Black liberation theology?
That's a joke. That's a joke in a card game. And anybody who supports that nonsense and go along with it don't understand one thing. They still looking up to the sky daddy.
That's the point.
I have to respect what you just said, brother. And I respect your ability to say the truth. When black people try to hold on to Christianity and put a black face on it, they're fools. You know, they paint everybody black and said, we're Christians, but Jesus was black, everything was black, and let's hold on to the same ideology that was used to enslave us, but let's rig a narrative that they were actually black. That whole sky daddy is bullshit.
Frankly, yeah. you just replacing the black face. You just replacing a black face with a white face, or a white face with a black face, is still the same Sky Daddy BS. The funny, if you ask me.
Brother, you absolutely
never go fuck the Sky Daddy and it's BS.
You absolutely right, my brother.
That's the point. That's the point I like to get to.
Our people need to recognize first. Our people have to learn what true black liberation ideology or narrative truly is. True black liberation is our narrative that elevates the mind, that makes you cognizant of your true condition, that makes you seek out methods of elevating yourself from your position, that unifies you. A religion that makes you sit complacently waiting for your pie in the sky, or waiting for a Messiah to float down to heaven to rescue you, it's not liberation, it's mental enslavement. Any fool who's waiting for Jesus to float down to rescue him while his oppressor continues to beat him, kill him, and mistreat him is a damn fool.
See,
you're reading the Bible that was forced upon those that raped your ancestors, sodomized your grandfather, castrated your grandfather, raped children. They were pedophiles. And those people gave you that Bible. And you were defending the Bible because you are a fool.
And use that book that you love so much to justify it. How insane are you, Negro, to believe in some damn book that basically your ancestors was brutalized upon as
The white man was reading the Bible on Sunday and raping black women on Sunday night.
There you go. Absolutely abusing black women. And let's not forget, let's keep it 100, as they say. He was raping black men.
They rape black men. The preachers raping black men. They forcing the Bible on you, screwing you, and they're telling you the Bible says you're supposed to forgive us. Damn fool.
If the filthy, stinking, no good monkey man decided he didn't want a woman one night, he just go and take whatever man that he wanted to take and go.
Man, woman, or child.
So
imagine you being a man, you can't protect your family.
So obviously, brothers, black liberation theology ain't gonna get it either. But let me just say this. Let me say this, because I was listening to those brothers and I do have some respect for them, but I don't agree either. And I've stated this a number of times. Christianity in and of itself, you can do whatever you feel you think you need to do to make it feel better for you. But the reality of it is the Christian religion is not a liberating religion in and of itself. It's not a liberating religion for us collectively, because we are a communal people, you see. But it is for those who are individualistic. That's why I keep saying that when those who could see, there are some people who are in liberation theology, and they'll say the same thing even if they weren't. I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, God favors me, and so forth. Let me say this.
Brother, listen for a second. When the white man went to Africa and he started colonizing Africans, he made him into Christians. When the white man captured Africans and brought them to America, he made him into Christians. That was a tool used to enslave us. And to hold on to that tool that our enslavers and brutal colonizers used against us makes us damn fools.
See, but
it makes us non-critical thinking fools.
But see,
liberation begins when you separate yourself from the ideology that was used by your conquerors and your enslavers. We must separate ourselves from that.
That's what I agree. That's what I agree. But our people who look at Christianity as a liberating tool, or has black liberation theology, as it is termed, look at it and say that, yes, even though the Bible, the way it is constituted and how it was imposed, but I know that that area of the world was black. I know that the people existed there at that time were black. And so I don't believe what the white man is saying. You see, I believe in the Bible of what the black man it talks about. Now,
no
understand
this.
Hold on. Only one of them speak at a time. Go ahead, Frank. Then Jay. Go ahead, Frank.
Okay. There is no black man who's going to float down from heaven and rescue us. Waiting for a black man to float down, even if you paint Jesus as black, makes you mentally enslaved. If you're sitting on earth, getting kicked in the ass by your oppressors, sitting patiently and say, that's okay, I'll get my pie in the sky in the end, or waiting for a black Jesus to float down, that makes you still mentally enslaved. In reality, no black man raised the dead. No black man walked on water. Those are fairy tales, fables. And shocking in our day and time, we are believing in fairy tales.
Go ahead, Jay.
In Egypt, there's no Jews in bondage in Egypt. In the studies of Egypt, in their own writings, there's no stories of Jews, no Moses. Those are all fallacies. In fact, the Great Sphinx and the Great Pyramid are older than the Bible timeline of the birth of Adam and Eve. Those pyramids and that Sphinx are older than Adam and Eve. So they exist long before this. So it's impossible for a Jew to have built those, because they existed long before the Bible timeline of Jews. The whole story doesn't fit. When you start studying and putting it together, the whole thing's a lie. If you study what's called the Nicene Creed, you will learn how the Jesus story was created. And when they created the Jesus story, when they actually created the Jesus story in 324 AD, there was a black man named Arian. Arian was one of the ancient teachers in North Africa. And when the Romans took over Christianity and created the perversion of Jesus, Arian opposed it.
And they killed him.
It's called the Arian
Creed.
The Arian controversy.
Yeah.
Arian was so popular, instead of Constantine killing him like he killed other Africans.
Yeah.
In fact, according to Dr. Bennett, two Africans he killed were two women. But instead of killing Arian, he banished Arian from practicing his teaching in any area where the Roman Christianity version was. And they banished Arian. And that's documented. If you study the true history that the Africans were teaching, that was the blueprint of Christianity, okay, was the teaching of an Ethiopian that was born in a cave in Ethiopia. And his teaching never said he was a Messiah. His teaching was about having a connection with what they call the Most High. But the story of that you have to worship Jesus to go to heaven was a great scheme, because the church controlled the image of Jesus. So by saying that to go to heaven, you had to go through Jesus, literally meant that the Roman church held the key to heaven. When you hold the key to heaven, that is immense power on earth.
That's right.
Because they tell you that, okay, you want to go to heaven? We control Jesus. You got to come through Jesus. That was a strategic power they used. They're all lies. Like, for example, have you ever heard a story of purgatory? Anybody heard purgatory? Purgatory is another propaganda scheme. They tell you this. When your loved one dies, they tell you they're not in heaven. You're in a place between heaven and earth, and if you want them to go up to heaven, you have to pay the church gold pieces or silver pieces, and they'll charge you money. When you receive, when the church gets the money, they tell you loved one has not moved on to heaven. The entire thing is a friggin' scam. But those who refuse to research, those who refuse to be critical thinkers, those who refuse to be intelligent, allow themselves to continue being enslaved by religion. So they go from their cradle to the grave mentally enslaved. Fools. I think the brother is right. We need to start speaking up. Even though we have all these black Christians, we who know the truth must speak the truth. We must not fear those fools who cling to the Bible. The fools who cling to the Bible. Everything I'm saying, it can be validated by research. There is no validation for the stories in the Bible. None.
There is no historical. There is no historical proof to what happened. Go ahead, Jay. Go ahead, Jay.
Like the Pointer Sisters said, you got to believe in something. And the pork chop chicken eating pimp preachers, they believe in sky daddyism, and that's why I leave them alone. Because you can't reason with them Negroes. You couldn't even present the information that Brother Franklin just gave to them, and them being able to read would even want to entertain it because they stuck on stupid.
Waiting for dumb to come.
Believing in that book, the Sky Daddy book. And it's just something that we have to call out and we just have to set it aside. It's like sitting down in a room full of them jokers and listen to them debate with one another. It reminds me of a show they had on TV a couple of years ago with a bunch of black pork chop chicken eating preachers seeing who could be the better pimp on the airway. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But you don't listen. Everybody needs a good laugh, and I must say so myself. I enjoy a good comedy show. Now, we just have to figure out how we could get our people out of that paradigm of believing in that nonsense. And that's like the hardest thing in the world. I believe that the Negro would give up the Urugu before he give up the Sky Daddy.
Yes.
Now that should tell you something, because they're both the same enemy to you. But they would give up the white man before they give up the Sky Daddy. And not there one person has ever came back to this earth and told you if there was a heaven or a hell. That should tell you
okay,
something.
Okay, now, Jay and Brother Frank and listeners.
Yes.
You're right, Jay. They would. That's only because they want to believe in that theology. They want to believe in Christianity. You are bombarded 24/7, 365 with that belief. In fact, it is so strong that even as Frank said what he said, and I've been saying this for quite some time myself about the fallacy of Christianity, the non-historicalness of Christianity, because that's why I talk about it on this program, because it purports itself to be historical when it is not. And so, but we rather believe that because we can put a black face or an African face on it. Hence, black liberation theology. And we can believe in that. Now, the other thing is this, because of the tenets of it, there is a fear. And so therefore, their mindset is, well, okay, you say all you said, Brother Frank, and all you said, Jay, all that, all that, and damn Brother Oshi, but I'd rather believe in it and it not be true than to not believe in it and it be true. Because if it is true, I will burn in hell.
That's the nature of our people. That's the nature of our psyche. That's the way that we manifest our oppression. Because we don't want to face the reality that what the white man has done to us has been as brutal as it has been. We don't want to face the fact that the white man is your perpetual enemy. Anytime the person who made the statement now says that he doesn't believe the white man is the perpetual enemy, that goes to tell you there's something wrong with us. Here it is. Haku Bada Modi wrote that statement, the white man is your perpetual enemy. That was the statement that changed my life. That was the statement that woke me up. That was the statement that made me question everything. And then years later, I asked the Negro, do we still feel as though the white man is your perpetual enemy? And he had the nerve to tell me no.
Yeah, that's Haki. that's the Chicago gangster Haki Mambu. That's a good brother. I mean, I've known Haki and you know, even when he was Don Lee, Don L. Lee. Pardon? Say what, Frank? I can't hear. Can you hear me? Testing, 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 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Am I? Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3.
This is being recorded by the organizer.
Did you Google? If you could identify him as a Jew, you could identify him as a Russian, you could identify him as an Italian, anything without any melanin in his behind and that identifies with whiteness is your enemy.
And I agree.
Until we realize that, we're going to be in the same position, in the same quagmire.
Let me support what you just said. What Brother Jay said is actually true and it's factual. But so many of our people are programmed against what Brother Jay just said, that this, he just hates. No, he is racist. But everything Brother Jay just said, that the statement he said, is backed by over 400 years of history, over millions of deaths. What he is saying is true. And there's an entire history that supports what he says. But so many of our people are so brainwashed that to reject what he was just said, because they have been brainwashed, socially engineered to adore, love, and respect whites, and to walk away from what the statement he said that's contrary of loving and adoring whites. One example of how religion has been used as the worst tool against black people has been the Black Hebrew Organization, okay? The Black Hebrew Organization have these Africans in America walking around saying, oh, we're not Africans, we're the Hebrews, the Africans sold us away. And they ignore the fact that millions of DNA now that confirm that we are African. They also say that the Africans come from Shem, and they come from Shem, Africans come from Ham, so Africans are Hamites. That entire story about Shem and Hamite is bullshit. It's a fairy tale. The story of the flood, the story of the flood happened 4,000 years ago, 4,200 years ago.
And frankly, you know what the brothers are? They're a sketch comedy team. That's all they are. You should see them on the street in those made-up costumes and things of that nature. It's like a sketch comedy show.
They are ignorant of their own ignorance. They are ignorant of their own ignorance. But here's the deal, though. Their narrative has prevailed where millions of people follow that stupid, dumb ideology, which has no facts. The story of Ham and Shem was a fairy tale. It's not even a Hebrew fairy tale, okay? That's a fairy tale. Study shows that Africans are far much older than the story of Hamite. That's a bullshit fairy tale. And these black people in America, we're not African, based upon a fairy tale. There were no Africans, there were no Hebrews in bondage in Egypt. That's an entire fairy tale. But the thing is, we who know better, we must start speaking out against the idiotic. We must speak out against the stupidity. We must stand and speak against it. Our words mean something. Instead of allowing this stupid, ignorant ideology to prevail, continue to step and speak. Continue to step and speak. You are awakened. I believe that the ancestors awakened us for a reason. We are unique. Here's uniqueness. We are descendants of those who have been enslaved 400 years ago, who have been bombarded with propaganda, miseducation, lies upon lies, designed to make us hate ourselves, believe less of ourselves. But in spite of 400 years of lies, we are on this system right now, speaking to each other, speaking truth to power. Therefore, the ancestors have awakened us, have protected our minds from the lies. And with such abilities come a great responsibility. We must speak out against the lies. Speak out against the misinformation. Speak out against the propaganda that divides us. Speak out against the mental enslaving false Bible. We must speak without fear.
because there are those out there who need to hear the truth. Without hearing the truth, they will themselves be slaves to the false system, the system of lies. System is all lies, propaganda, lies that people function based upon.
You see, but see what happens though, what happens though, brothers, is that, you know, we just want to live our mundane lives. We just want to go to work or to school or whatever, come back, pay our bills, be happy that we live in America, not in Africa, just like that Negro chick down in Florida said. Otherwise, if I was living in Africa, I'd be worshiping a tree. And then not only did she say that, but she said, and she wants to impose Christianity on everybody.
Yeah, I heard her.
Yeah. You know, so that's the thing. We're just trying to live our little lives and feel fortunate. And because you're made and you're impressed to feel fortunate that you live in America and you don't live anywhere else, even though it's proven that living in America is detrimental to our health, our mental, spiritual, physical health. There's no doubt about that, you know, but so and you care about yourself, not your people. Not your relatives, not your community. You care about yourself. And one of the main things you can do for yourself is get out. Go to a suburb. Go to a white community. Be happy that your kid is the only kid at that school. You know, and my kid gets good grades. You know, my kid's in the upper percentile or whatever. And my kid now has been accepted like just two or three young people who were accepted, got all this scholarship money, skipped it all. I don't give a damn about that. I don't care about that. That's not going to liberate African people. That's nice for her and her family and him or her and their family. But that has no bearing on what happens to African people. We still get massively incarcerated. We still are dying at unprecedented numbers. All of those things are still happening, but yet you are going to celebrate the fact that you got over $1 million in scholarship money and you got accepted to 25,000 schools. It doesn't make a bit of difference in their world. This is theirs, not ours. And because it is theirs and not ours, it is designed for us to suffer in this, to suffer disproportionately to who we are. Somebody said, well, if we are, let's just say for the sake of this discussion we're having here, that we're 15% of this country's population. And if all things were equal within the society, then no, we wouldn't be deeply more profound in social ills than anybody else. So there would only be 15% of us who are massively incarcerated. There would be 15% of us who are represented in corporate America. There'd be 15% of us, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But that's not the case. That is not the case.
This is not at all.
A system that is not good for African people, and it's proven to be such. But we keep trying to shape it and to form it in our image, for our interests. Understand something. It has been shaped and formed in the interest and image of Europeans, of Caucasians. And that's the bottom damn line. And it's shaped and formed in the interest, in their image and interest to the degree that even poor Caucasians, who feel they're more superior than even the American African person that has money, that has notoriety,
LBJ,
that has position.
Why that's necessary. Remember, LBJ explained why that's necessary. He said, if you can make the lowest white man believe that he is better than the best black man, the best Negro, as he called it, you could steal money out of his pocket and he won't say a word. You know, remember he said that? He created propaganda to make the lowest white man feel he's better, and he will allow the elites to steal from him. There's a system we're in. We're a part of that system, you know. Speaking of this, I just saw a film yesterday, and the film was called "If Beale Street Could Speak." Have you heard that?
Yeah.
I went to see that yesterday.
Oh, you did? How was it?
I saw it with a lady friend, and I loved it. It was brutal. It didn't make things look better and shiny. It showed the reality of a system. But first of all, it portrayed our people as human beings. It showed that sometimes we have to do things to make ends meet, and it showed the corrupt criminal system that was used to attack our dreams, attack our chances of living better lives. And it showed that a system where no justice really happened, no happy story at the end, all the system. It showed that 90% of black men are forced to take a deal because the system is designed to target black men. Mm-hmm. Black men are able to get proper representation in court. You know, so you cop a deal. Because I recognize that movies are propaganda systems and they convey negative information or positive information, I believe this piece, for the first time, that the directors, writers, and actors who were black was able to tell our story in a more accurate representation of the corrupt system, the corrupt police, innocent black people being thrown in jail, you know? And I think those who are conscious may really enjoy that film. I saw it.
Okay.
And in the scene, the brother said, you know, when you look closely to the white man, how brutal and evil he is, I have no doubt that he's the devil. You know?
Well, when Elijah Muhammad said that, many people were talking about that. And the reality of it is this. Any human that does what Caucasians have done, they are of a spirit of a devil.
That's the theme of the movie, and it doesn't try to remove that narrative at the end. That's what I was pleased. The movie gave that narrative, and it didn't try to remove that narrative at the end.
I love
so
that.
Wasn't that a play or a book?
Yeah, it looked like a play.
James Baldwin wrote Black Homosexual Monkey Man.
I didn't research the effort, but it appeared to be a play. But even there's a scene of a extremely religious woman in there who believes in the Sky Daddy, and her belief in the Sky Daddy made her the dumbest person in the room. So that was interesting. Her commitment to the Sky Daddy had her stupid. Her commitment to the Sky Daddy made her mentally enslaved. And she clings to her mental enslavement because of her belief in the Sky Daddy, which is also demonstrated in the film.
Well, you know, in all honesty, Brother Franklin, a lot of our people unfortunately believe in the Sky Daddy because they don't know no damn better. And they don't want to do no research on what the Sky Daddy is and the brainwashing that's involved with Sky Daddyism. So what you have to do is you have to separate it. And you know, I've been in situations to where I've dealt with women who were lovers of the Sky Daddy.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to establish from the beginning, if we're going to do anything together, you got to lead the Sky Daddy out of this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to beat up on your fancy. And I can. Mm-hmm. But I find you to be more attractive as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I would rather bypass your mental madness of Sky Daddyism.
Mm-hmm.
And once they could accept that you ain't going to church with them, you don't want to hear nothing about Sky Daddyism,
then it's over.
That, you could basically get along.
Yeah.
Until it gets to the point that something happened, and the first thing they want to do when you get sick is they want to tell you, you need to get down on your knees.
And pray, exactly. Well, listen, we got another call. Let me take this call.
Okay.
Let me take this call, Jay. 215. Go ahead.
Hey, Brother Oshie.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
Brother Frank, forgive me, Brother Jay. I mean, it's from all my heart, Brother. I ain't mean to interrupt Jay because Jay was on the road, man. Jay was on the side about that, Brother Jay. You know, you're my brother. You know, I love you, man. Sorry about that.
I just want to
say this real quick. Happy New Year. Thanks, Brother Jay. Happy New Year to all y'all brothers and stuff. You, Jay, and Brother Oshie and Brother Franklin. I just want to say, I was talking to Elliot this morning. Thanks, Brother Jay. I was talking to Elliot this morning, and he was telling me that about a case, because these devils, they kill our people so much in this country, you can kind of lose track of certain things, because, you know, like Brother X had said, many times they try to exterminate our people. And Elliot was talking about the case out in California where I think it was out in the L.A. area where the white cops had shot and killed this black man and woman, similar to what happened to the black couple that was assassinated in Cincinnati or Cleveland a few years ago. And they was ultimately fired, and they had the bastards had the audacity to file a class action lawsuit saying they was only fired because they was white. I said, ain't this some stuff? You gunned down innocent, this black man and woman had pulled over to the side of the road because they had been drinking. So they pulled over to the side of the road, I guess, to sleep it off before they get out the will again. And these bastards assassinated them, and they got the nerve to be filing a lawsuit saying it like they was wrong. I said, hell, I said, fired. I said, their ass should have been criminally charged with murder. Talking about some just being fired from the police department, you know?
Yeah.
But the nerve of these bastards, man, is filing a lawsuit.
They're going to get their job back.
Yeah, oh, no, but I told them the same thing.
They're going to get their job back.
They will through the arbitration. You're right, Jay, because that's how they roll in this country, man. You can kill black people on camera and everything, still get your job back with back pay,
now,
everything.
Now, check this out. Check this out right quick. Now, listen to this. You're going to love this one, Ralph. The new dollars of black folks from California own Mary Kamala Harris. You know, she didn't prosecute black police. You know that, right?
Right.
She wasn't one for prosecuting black police or white police whenever they did something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So that's why she's going to be a darling of these PBA associations and stuff like that. See, they bring people to us that when you really study their history and their characters, if you have any character, you got to run away from the bastards. See, the sad thing about a lot of us as the people is we don't investigate the character of people. And when we find out that they're immoral, we leave them alone. We don't do that. And now when the time goes by, you see how immoral they really are. Prime example, Michelle Obama. Look at how she just threw Reverend Wright under the bus. Do the history on what she did to poor people in Chicago
when
she got that job at the University of Illinois Chicago Hospital after she was almost debarred from being a lawyer and just didn't renew her license to keep herself from being disbarred. See, there's a lot more to people than what meets the eye. So that's why whenever they behave in the manner in which they behave in, that's not in the interest of African people, for some reason, our so-called leadership don't call them out. I'll leave you with this. There was a radio host on Al Sharpton's program called Andre Michael Ellishard.
He died
a couple of weeks ago.
He died.
You know that bastard Al Sharpton did not even acknowledge that man's death on his show.
Oh, wow.
Are you serious? He thought it for Sharpton many a time.
Now, let me tell you, from my understanding, he filled in for Sharpton for at least 3 or 4 years, and what his downfall was, he made a comment about one of the most dangerous black women in media, Joy Ann Reid. And the comment was on how she mistreated him and the things that I think she did to him while they worked together in Florida. And do you know something? At that point in time, I think they took him off the air. And basically, you didn't hear nothing else from him. But, yeah, that's what happened. See, we get these sycophant fanships going on with people like Joy Ann Reid and the rest of those Negroes, who, in essence, are really nothing but tools for the Yoruba to try and bring us into the white man's devilment. And we don't even never figure it out, all because they're in the public sphere, all because we see them on TV. And we think that they have the best interests at heart for us. But you know something? When you really check them out and you listen closely to what they say, they never push in an African agenda.
No.
They always push in an agenda to love the dead.
Yeah.
And y'all, brother, have a happy new year.
You too.
It's good talking to all of y'all. And
likewise,
little Joe, keep on doing your thing, baby.
Thanks, Brother Jay. You do the same, Brother
All right,
Jay.
Gentlemen.
Take care, Brother Jay.
All right, all three of you gentlemen. And I want to end the program with this.
Mm-hmm.
We need to understand how important it is that we need to change our attitude and our mind and our behavior towards one another.
Yes.
Here is something that Frances Cress Welsing put forth, her and Neely Fuller. We should stop gossiping about one another. We should stop name calling one another. We should stop squabbling with one another. We should stop snitching on one another for reason of personal gain. Mm-hmm. We should stop cursing one another. We should stop being discourteous to one another. We should stop being disrespectful to one another. We should stop stealing and robbing from one another. We should stop fighting one another. Truly stop killing one another. Stop throwing trash down where we live, work, and play. Stop making dirt and filth the norm in our community. Stop using drugs to harm and work with one another. Stop black children from thinking that as a child, they can be adequate mothers and fathers. Stop believing that the welfare system will save you. Start believing in our own prosperity. Stop pretending that European, Caucasian, racism, and extremism does not exist. We should stop. But more importantly, we should come together with a new mindset. We've been here 400 years, brothers and sisters. And look at our situation. Our situation will not change by infusing Caucasians into making that change happen. It will only happen when we make it happen. When they took those chains off of our physical bodies, we can free ourselves from that. And with the help of Caucasians, that may have happened. But nobody but us can free our minds. And they put a vice grip on our minds. And we understand that tool. The only way that vice grip is released is to turn that knob at the end of the handle. And turning that knob at the end of the handle is symbolic of acquiring knowledge of self. Of being very serious about acquiring knowledge of self. Not superficial, not BS, but deep knowledge of self and confidence in who we are. That's when it'll change. Brothers, I got to go. I love y'all.
Thanks,
hope you'll
Oshie.
Be back
Thanks,
Friday.
Brother.
Thank
love
you, Brother
brothers,
Joe.
Man. That's a perfect closing, my brother. Oshie, perfect closing.
All right, Brother Frank. Thank you so much.
Yeah, see y'all on Friday.
All right. You bet. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs. With the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants and think they can't do without. That's a Dr. John Henry Clark quote. Dr. John Henry Clark's birthday was yesterday, January 1st, 1915. Brothers and sisters, we have much work to do. This is a pivotal year for us, I believe. Let us analyze this and look at it objectively and call it for what it is. Our condition will never get better in this system. This is theirs, not ours. We have every right to have our own. Let's come together. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodia. Abibi Fahodia is our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodia. Peace, family.